Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the sports bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Our eyes are on the horizon, the NFL draft in April. Las Vegas already talking about it, the setup, how they're going to block off the street. The strip is going to be just a zoo. The fountain at the Bellagio. A lot of it starts with this weekend's festivities in Mobile, Alabama, the Senior Bowl. And on the scene, Mark Schofield, our buddy from InsideThePylon.com. You can hear him on the Sco Show at Pat's Pulpit. Also writing for the Pro Football Weekly, NFL draft coverage for ProFootballWeekly.com. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. Always great to be with you.
Mark, you're still in Mobile, right?
I am still in Mobile. A cloudy, dreary day. Practice was actually moved indoors, but it's been a fun week down here. It's always a great time down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. They do a great job putting this together, and this is my fifth year here, and all of them have been great. This might have been the best so far, though.
Mark, who's caught your eye? I mean, the obvious question, you know, anybody there that you've seen that has improved their stock by appearing in Mobile?
I mean, I think there are a couple of tiers of players you could look at. You could look at, obviously, the quarterbacks always get a lot of attention down here for the Senior Bowl. This year's no different. You've got Justin Herbert from Oregon and Jordan Love from Utah State. Those are probably the two guys that will get the most attention, go both into and out of this week. I think both of them have performed pretty well. I think Herbert has been the better of the two, the more consistent. But Love had a very nice day yesterday on Wednesday, made a lot of really nice throws. Both of them have incredible arm talent. You can see them doing some things that work in the National Football League, some of the seam route throws, those deeper out routes and things like that. So I think those two quarterbacks have helped themselves. I want to mention two players in particular, guys that, you know, are smaller school players and aren't nationally known, but they should be after this week. The first is tight end Adam Troutman from the University of Dayton, an FCS school. He was a guy that he called himself a late bloomer. He was a quarterback in high school, weighed 175 pounds his junior year, but then sort of bulked up a bit, got recruited by Dayton. That was the biggest school that gave him an offer. He went there, moved to tight end, and set some FCS records. But as he told us Tuesday during the media day portion, he said, look, I've got an asterisk next to my name. People think I'm a small school kid. What I've done, set records, won't matter. I've got to prove that I can do it down here in Mobile against better competition. And he's done that. I think he's probably a guy you're going to hear his name called on day two. But he's had a very good week. And another small school kid, Ben Barch, an offensive tackle from St. John's, a Division III school out in Minnesota. Similar to Troutman, he was a tight end when he entered campus, put on 70 pounds, and they moved him to tackle. He was dominant at the Division III level, but you want to see if he can do it against better competition. And he's done that. Guys, he might be the best tackle down here. And you've got guys like, you know, Josh Jones from Houston, who's down here. Guy like Alex Taylor from South Carolina State. Some bigger name guys, you know, Terrence Steele as well. But Ben Barch has perhaps been the best tackle down here, if not the best, one of the best. He's gone from a fringe draftable prospect coming into this week. It's probably a solid day two pick, a Division III kid from Minnesota. So those guys, I think, have really sort of stood out as well.
I love the D3 kid. We had one right down the road. Marpet, I think, was his name at Hobart a few
Alan
years ago.
Marpet. Yeah, Marpet. Yeah, and he was obviously asked about that Tuesday by, during the media day portion. He said he's been in touch with Ali Marpet. He's, you know, we've been talking to him back and forth. They've been texting back and forth about his experience. And obviously, you know, Marpet was a kid that came into the Senior Bowl, and that certainly boosted his stock. You know, he came into the Senior Bowl as a relative unknown, leaves the Senior Bowl, and he's now being talked about as a big-time prospect that's going to get picked earlier than people thought. Same thing for this kid. And he's obviously drawn on the experience that Marpet had going into his Senior Bowl week. And it's paid off in a huge way. I mean, you've seen him in watching the one-on-ones, the pass rushing one-on-ones. He had one rep, I think, where he actually lost, and it was when they moved him to the right side. But other than that, he's been rock solid this entire week.
Mark, why don't we see more kids going that D3 route? Because at least in today's day and age, if you're good, you're good. They're going to find you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm an old D3 guy myself, and I wasn't good enough to be found. But the point is right. The amount of coverage that gets put into the draft each and every summer, from the big sites all the way down to the small sites, people will comb through grainy YouTube cutups and, you know, huddle tape and friend of a friend's iPhone videos to find the next diamond in the rough. And so if you're a high school kid and maybe you're not getting a lot of D1 offers, and you think, you know, your road to the NFL might, you know, coming to an end, just go somewhere and play. Go to an FCS school. Go to a D2 school. Go to a D3 school. Because if you can dominate that level of competition, people will find you. Scouts will find you. Draft Twitter will find you. And before you know it, you'll be down here playing in a Senior Bowl yourself with a path to the draft of your own.
Mark Schofield, InsideThePylon.com from Mobile, Alabama, and the Senior Bowl, joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mark, I think if you were to ask any Bills fan what the team needs out of this year's draft, first and foremost, they would probably throw a wide receiver at you. Secondly, I know that the draft this year might be one of the deeper drafts we've seen in a while for offensive tackle. I'm curious what you're seeing there in Mobile in terms of both wide receiver and offensive tackle in terms of who potentially could be somebody that the Bills have their eyes on.
Well, I mean, this is a tremendous year to need a wide receiver in the draft, because whether it's the guys down here or just guys around in general, this is a very deep, deep, deep wide receiver group. I mean, there are guys that are down here, for example, Colin Johnson for Texas, Devin DuVernay from Texas, you know, Denzel Mims from Baylor, that have kind of put on a show this week. Mims, I think, is a very nice vertical threat. He can really stretch teams, you know, from the line of scrimmage down deep down the field. He had a great sort of set of array of releases off the line of scrimmage. I've seen some footage from practice today, the indoor practice, seen some clips people are tweeting out of some great releases in the red zone. Mims is a tremendous talent. Johnson and DuVernay have been great. Van Jefferson from Florida, he's had a very nice week as well. And so from the wide receivers that are down here, there are some great guys to choose from. Another one I think has had a very good week is Chase Claypool, a Canadian kid, but played at Notre Dame. I've loved what he's done. He had a great play in Wednesday's practice, running a curl route. Pass was thrown wide of him towards the sideline, but he was able to extend, measured it well, and he showed the long arms and the reach on it to snare the ball before it hit the turf. There are some great wide receivers down here. Those are just some of the guys that have stood out. But when you look at the tackle spot, we can talk about the Barch kid again, the D3 kid. I think he's an NFL talent. I really think he's had a tremendous week on film. But there are some other tackles. Matt Pearl from UConn, a bit of an unknown as well. But I love his footwork, his fluidity, his ability to sort of re-anchor. You know, if he gets beaten to a punch or if he mistimes his hand usage, he's able to reset himself, drop the anchor a bit. He's had a good week. Josh Jones, I think, got off to a bit of a slow start, the offensive tackle from Houston. But he sort of turned it on over the past couple of days. And a lot of people, you know, talking to some people at practices or at dinner and things like that, what did they see? A lot of NFL types or people around the league really like what he's put down on tape this week as well. And another offensive lineman that I did want to mention, this is a guy that I think it's been a bit more up and down, but I think there's a spot for him in the National Football League. That's Terrence Steele. He's had some good reps as well. He's been more on the right side, but he's shown some patience with his hands. He can sometimes do a good job of countering pass rush moves that are strung together by, you know, the linebacker, the defensive end, or the edge defender. And so there are some good tackles down here as well. It's a pretty good tackle class. You've got some guys, some underclassmen that are, you know, more household names. But if you're thinking more of that day two range, maybe early day three, there have been some good guys down here as well.
Mark Schofield, great info. Inside the Pylon, also hear him on the Sco Show on Pat's Pulpit, our guest here in the Sports Bar. All these names, and we're going to learn about, I'm going to ask you about somebody that most football fans have heard of, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, what kind of week has he had down there? And Mark, actually, you have kind of an interesting scenario where it might be a good landing spot for him coming up in the pros.
Yeah, and I should sort of qualify that with this little lead-in of context, which is, and this is now my fifth Senior Bowl. I've been doing this now for a number of years. I have often tried to find the marriage of Bruce Arians to a quarterback. I thought it might have been Cardale Jones. I thought it might have been Patrick Mahomes. I have yet to be right, but the more I watch Jalen Hurts, both on film and then down here during the throwing sessions and during the one-on-ones, the seven-on-sevens, the team, Hurts stands out when he gets a chance to throw the deep ball. whether it's that go route, the deep seven route, that corner route, the post route, that eight route. He throws the deep ball well. He can drop it in the bucket. He's got a great relationship with receivers where he's throwing that vertical ball down the field. We know that's what Bruce Arians loves to do. No risk it, no biscuit. Likes to push the ball vertically. We wonder how they're going to handle the quarterback position. We wonder what they're going to do with Jameis Winston. We've heard rumors about Phillip Rivers. But the more I watch Jalen Hurts, the more I think the situation where he goes to Tampa, they draft him sometime day two, day three, and he gets a chance maybe to sit behind a Rivers or behind an embattled Jameis Winston and learn a little bit under Arians, I think it'd be a good fit. He still has areas he needs to clean up. You know, the processing speed, the mechanics are a bit loose. He's sometimes deliberate with his decisions, so he might not fit in every offense. But I think that Tampa Bay system with what Bruce Arians likes to do might be ideal for him.
Mark, I'm curious. Every year when the Senior Bowl happens, you know, we've got a couple of NFL teams that have their coaches down there basically coaching the squads. And I always wondered if that was considered some kind of an advantage. And I know the Niners were there last year and they find themselves in the Super Bowl this year. And I don't think the Senior Bowl really has anything to do with that. But do you get the sense that there is something to be said for Matt Patricia or Zach Taylor being down there and coaching these guys this year?
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly things that you can benefit from by having this hands-on week where you get a chance to get an entire team of players in, learning your system, seeing how you do things, and you get a chance to up close and personally see how they take to coaching, see how they develop over the week, see if in your system, whether it's offensively or defensively, these guys can do the types of things that you're looking for at the various positions. So it gives you just that extra little bit of information when it comes to you're on the clock, it's the third round, you're looking to address the offensive tackle position, you've got 17 names at that position on your horizontal and vertical board, but you know that these two guys were with you for an entire week. One of them took to coaching and did the things you were looking for, one of them didn't. That's going to be the name you're on the card that you turn in. And so this entire process, this entire league, everybody's looking for that little bit of an edge, whether it comes in the form of analytics or data or whatever. This is just one more thing that guys in that organization in Cincinnati and Detroit, they get that extra little bit of up close and personal information other teams don't have. And you can see it. It pans out. You know, maybe the Dallas Cowboys saw something in Dak Prescott. And when it got to their fourth round, they said, well, you know, we get to see something of him down here. Or like last year, San Francisco, they saw some guys up close and personally that fit with what they were looking for. And so it's certainly one little bit of the puzzle, but it does give these teams a little bit of an edge.
Mark, if I can shift gears here, because we are there isn't a day that goes by here up in Western New York. We're talking about what's going on with the Patriots here in Tom Brady. And the story today, if you want to call it a story, it's Adam Schefter going on Get Up this morning, saying he's reporting that Tom Brady, the Patriots want an answer before March 16th. That's the day free agency begins. Is this news, Mark? And I guess what is your overall read here? What is the state of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots here on this date, January 23rd, 2010, 2020?
Yeah, I have yet to submit the trademark request for it, but I think I was first with Brady Watch 2020, and I just want to get the credit for that, by the way, with the Patent and Trademark Office. But, you know, I think what that tells me is that they learned from last year, because there were rumblings that, you know, they were in on Jared Cook, the tight end who ended up with New Orleans, but the Gronkowski thing looming out there with him still technically coming back, that sort of scared Jared Cook off. He didn't want to be a backup to Gronk. He wanted to start. And then when Gronk made his decision late, they were unable to address the tight end position the way they wanted to, and we saw how much that mattered to New England's offense this year. They didn't have an answer at tight end, and it cost them. And so they don't want to go down that road again. They want to know ahead of time, before free agency, what Tom wants to do. And yes, you can get into things like tampering and all that stuff, but we're all adults here. We know that people are talking of right now as we speak in terms of free agency and potential movements. And so New England wants to have an answer. If Tom's going to leave, or if he really wants to get out of town, if he wants to go play somewhere else, they want to have the ability to address that position early in free agency, try to figure out what they're going to do for life after Tom Brady. Because as much as they like Jarrett Stidham, I've been told they love the way he's coming along. They love what they are seeing from him from a developmental standpoint. He might not be the answer for them right away. He may be the eventual answer, but they want to win next year. And so they want to know from Tom Brady what he's planning to do so they don't go down this road again of a position of need, not getting addressed during free agency because they're strung along by the guy they're waiting on an answer from.
But Mark, this is crazy. We already know the answer. He wants to play. He's made that very clear. So really, there's nothing to see here until there's an offer in front of him that says, no, we want you back, and here's what it's going to be worth for you to come back. I mean, the idea that Tom Brady, like, I think he stays in New England, but that aside, there isn't a shred in my mind. He wants to play next year. What decision are they waiting for?
The decision that they're waiting on is, does he really want to test and be methodical about the free agency market, or is this all a posture and move by Tom Brady and his people to maximize what will be his last contract? That's what New England is waiting on, because there are these rumblings about Brady saying, look, it's the first time he's really a free agent. He's going to be methodical and meticulous about the process and take all the meetings and meet with all the teams. Is that for real, Tom, or are you just driving up the number? Now, tell us that answer, and we can work with you. Because if you do want to take the meetings and you do want to go down that road, we have to do what we need to do. But if this is a negotiating ploy, good. You're playing the game. We'll play it, too. We can start talking numbers. But that's what they want to know. Is this interest in taking those meetings real or posturing?
Is Tom Brady, has he earned the right to be on both sides? In other words, he'd say that he and his agent Don Yee come to terms, but then there's something else. Tom says, hey, I want to make sure that money is spent on offense and we get the parts that we need, and you need to unveil that plan. Is that even worth considering? Does an NFL team owe a player like Tom Brady something like that if Tom says, hey, I want to make sure I know what I'm coming back to in 2020?
I think in this particular instance, Brady's earned that right, because if you think about the way he's structured his deals in New England now, he's still being paid well, but you can make the case that it's probably not the full value of Tom Brady, what he would be worth to this franchise, going over back over to some of the previous contracts he signed. And they go and they take the money and they spend it on linebackers. They spend it on corners. And then, like we saw last year, they try to staple together the tight end and the wide receiver positions, and it doesn't work out. I think at this point in his career, Tom Brady does need a little bit of help. It's okay to say that. He's my age, okay? Like, he's not the guy he was a couple of years ago, but he's still a very good quarterback. And he's probably done enough for that franchise and done enough for that organization where he can say, look, I'll come back, figure out a deal, some terms that work, some numbers that work, but you've got to get me some help. None of this signing like day three free agency type guys and stuff like that and undrafted free agent wide receivers. I know they drafted N'Keal Harry, but let's really address these positions well so I don't have to be stapling it together with some undrafted free agent rookies and stuff like that when I'm going up and trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens of the world.
Mark Schofield is in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. Good with his time joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Mark, I want to make sure you have the floor as we wrap things up with you to make sure our audience knows what they can read, what you're working on, and where they can read your stuff.
Well, guys, as always, thanks for having me. Always a blast to be on with you. The best way to follow along is Twitter, at Mark Schofield. But I write for places like Inside the Pylon, Matt Waldman's working out in Portfolio, Pro Football Weekly. And you can follow me, the podcast, on the Pat's Pulpit feed, the Sco Show, which drops 3 or 4 times a week, depending on what time of year it is.
Well, we love your work, Mark, and you're one of the Patriot Cup beat guys we do love.
We can actually have you come in from time to time.
Yeah, believe me, guys, I hear that all the time from the other 31 fan bases. Like, look, Mark, we hate the Patriots and their fans and their guys, but we like you, and I take that with some pride. I understand it, and it warms my heart to hear it.
You're the best. Safe travels and enjoy your weekend, Mark.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great one.
You got a Mark Schofield, InsideThePylon.com. The Sco Show at the Pat's Pulpit, and NFL Draft writing for Pro Football Weekly. Also, Matt Waldman's RSP. I mean, he's all over the place, and guy really knows his stuff.
I think it's fascinating. I think Schefter's report is dead on. And when you say March 16th, the start of free agency, when does free agency really begin? I would say it begins now. Begins now. So that what the Patriots did essentially is that they set a deadline. Hey, are we going to come to terms or no? And I'm sure that not only just the Patriots, but if you're another NFL team, Are you reaching out? Are you having the parameters talk with the representation for Tom Brady? Heck, absolutely. If you want Tom Brady, you had better be kind of talking about what the parameters of a new deal would look like.
And what are the teams? Who are the teams that you would say right now in play? Giants, yes. I would say the Giants are in play.
I think it's fair because if he's got a home in Connecticut, that's a suburb essentially in New York City, sure.
The Chargers are intriguing. We've had that discussion.
Miami.
Miami's intriguing. Giselle, South Beach, makes some sense.
What about a team that if they don't sign their quarterback will be in need of a quarterback? What about Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys?
No. They're signing Dak. They've said they're going to sign Dak. They're going to sign Dak. Dak is going to be the highest paid quarterback until Patrick Mahomes gets
his deal. That doesn't cross Jerry's mind that he went, no?
I don't think so. You have your guy. You know, I'm crossing off teams that already have their guy. The teams that you don't know who their guy is going to be, Tampa, don't know. The Bears, I don't know. Like, you want to believe that you have your guy, but you don't know. But, you know, one thing is certain. Tom Brady ain't going to go to a team to be a backup. If he's going to go to a team, it's going to be to try and win another championship, right?
Of course. But how many teams like the Tampa conversation? I like Bruce Arians. They're not going to compete. Whoever they put at quarterback, they're not ready to compete. And that's why Miami would make sense because they have all the money, but they ain't competing either. I know he would want to get back at the Patriots if he actually left, and that might... No. I'll cross the Dolphins off the list. Raiders are interesting. Raiders with Gruden and Big Splash, and they've got money to spend. AFC West.
What about Denver? Will John Elway do it again? Grab a quarterback for one run just to see.
Well, and here's why maybe those teams don't make sense. Because when I think back to when Peyton Manning made his decision how he landed in Denver, it was, hey, what division do I have a shot at winning at? That's Patrick Mahomes is in the Chiefs division for the foreseeable future. I don't know if I'm Tom Brady. I want to go if that's my best path. What division could I go to and win next year? It might be the Giants. You have Saquon. You have some talent there. That would be attractive.
A coach you're somewhat familiar with, sure.
Tennessee.
God, Tennessee, they've got some decisions to make, don't they?
Uh-huh.
Hate to see it. That was great. Mark Schofield from InsideThePylon.com. If you missed it, we'll get it up for you shortly on demand at the Radio.com app. Next in the sports bar, we've got some takes on tap. I'll drink to that.
Okay, I'm not going to say I was wrong on Syracuse. However, there was something I underestimated.
Are you hedging?
Not hedging. You accuse me of moving the goalpost a little bit here.
Goalpost moving.
But there is...
It's an art form for the takes, man.
I'm telling you, though, watch Syracuse basketball closely. I have a new favorite player on this Orange team. Is the way the game should be played, Mike Danger.
Somebody won you over last night.
Yeah, or over the past week here I've been watching Orange basketball. Somebody has arrived ahead of schedule.
All right, great. We'll get into that and more. I'll drink to that is on the way next. Some takes on tap in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, thanks for joining us this afternoon on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis, and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.